The United Nations has now appointed an ambassador, and it came out in the London Telegraph this week, to greet any alien visitors. And I prefaced it with setting up today's interview with Gary with the rise of pagan spirituality, the merging of the world's religions, people talking to, I believe, demons. They think they're talking to the New Age Jesus or to angels. And really, they're all coming together, and they can all come together under universalism, under pagan spirituality, under pluralism, under radical environmentalism. And I begin to believe that the demonic realm is actively involved in these UFOs and is helping to set the stage for the coming of the one world religion and the Antichrist and his counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Gary, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brennan. Nice to see you again after just a couple of days.
Well, thank you for being with us. It's great to hear your voice. Tell me, what do you think of everything I've been setting up? I know you've been on the line listening, so I'm going to let you go and just comment on what you've been hearing.
Well, it seems the whole UFO phenomenon seems to come in waves. You know, when there's a rash of sightings, it's called a wave, but it usually seems like there's one activating event, and it seems to bring a flood of other claims out of the woodwork. This started actually a few months ago with the British government releasing files on UFO reports under the Freedom of Information Act. We've had famous ufologist Stanton Friedman follow up from this this claim that the UN is going to appoint an ambassador to, you know, to make contact with the aliens if they land. And just a couple of days ago in the news, US Air Force pilots have claimed that they've seen UFOs, and they've actually, you know, deactivated missiles at missile bases across the United States. Those things are actually known to me, but they're not, you know, widely known by the public. And so it seems, you know, one event, and then it brings everybody else out of the woodwork. A lot of these events actually, you know, were covered and described in my book as well. So if people want a background, a Christian explanation, they can get them there. What's happening is people, generally the world, if I can use that expression, and of course governments do not recognize the supernatural. And so with all things, you know, for example, if what we're seeing with UFO sightings is supernatural phenomena in the sky, we know that the Bible explains that we've had supernatural visitors and they have been able to interact within our our physical dimension that you and I live in. They've been able to harm people. They've been able to alter things. So, you know, a snapshot of what's happening in the UFO realm is the same old phenomena that we read about in the Bible, you know, visitations from fallen angels, etc. But they basically masquerade themselves in the modern guise that people have been having experiences for as long as we've had recorded writings. For example, a few hundred years ago, it was well recorded that people were having visitations from fairies or elves, and the morphology of them was very similar. They got taken away, they had periods of missing time, you know, there were sexual encounters, people had markings on them, they were given visions of the future, all sorts of interesting things. Now, the difference today, of course, is if a fairy stood at the bottom of somebody's bed, the person having the experience would doubt their own sanity, of course. But, of course, hundreds of years ago, things like fairies were culturally acceptable. You know, sections of the population believed in this supernatural phenomena. In an age where we've dismissed, if you like, the supernatural as it's portrayed in the Bible, we have little grey entities appearing at the bottom of somebody's bed or manifesting in the sky. And, of course, no one would believe in fairies in this enlightened age, but they're quite happy to believe that, you know, in the millions and millions of galaxies and trillions of planets possibly out there, that they've been chosen and they're special. And these are beings from another planet, and people, you know, get taken in by it. And, of course, the governments are also being taken in by it because at the subset, this is a subset, if you like, of the whole origins debate. Because if people believe that life evolved here on the Earth, they have no problems with believing that it evolved countless times over elsewhere in the universe. And of course, if people believe in, you know, the Big Bang, the cosmic evolution of the universe, those alien races could be millions or billions of years older than us. If they're a million years older than human beings, because they evolved sooner, they could be a million years advanced in their technology. So of course, you know, they're playing cat and mouse, visiting the Earth by virtue of their advanced technology. It's the stuff of sci-fi, basically.
But you definitely believe what we're really seeing here is demonic manifestations.
Absolutely. One thing I would caveat is also what tends to happen in the Christian realm is we like to have a one-size-fits-all explanation, and the UFO believers do that too, and the skeptics do it. For example, a skeptic, even though he might believe, you know, on life evolving on other planets, he understands that the physics and the science of interstellar travel is basically impossible. You've got to defy the very laws of physics. So every sighting, every experience somebody has, they have to explain, if you like, with a naturalistic explanation. Well, it's swamp gas, it's ball lightning, it's lenticular clouds, or if somebody's having an experience, it's a psychological delusion. Now, the UFO believer, the true believers, they are constrained, if you like, to try to interpret every experience, every sighting, as a real extraterrestrial visitation. And I think what we have to be careful of as Christians is to, if you like, you know, put a spiritual label on every experience. When it comes to sightings in the sky, in fact, over 90% can always be explained. But the reason we tend to think of them as something more mysterious, perhaps if I give this example, can you imagine 150 years ago, let's say a farmer's in his field one night and he's herding his cows and he sees some strange lights moving around the sky, interacting with each other as if they're being guided intelligently. But 150 years ago, no one's seen a motor car, a rocket ship, an aeroplane. So within the cultural understanding of his day, he might interpret it as an angel or a demon, or you know, he might think he needs some new glasses or something like this. But let's shift forward to today. As soon as we see something in the sky we don't understand moving around, immediately people say, oh, that might be a UFO. And of course, UFO doesn't really mean unidentified flying object anymore. It means a spaceship piloted by, you know, alien beings. So we have this cultural overlay. There's a couple of things. Science fiction and the popularization of that, that is the number one entertainment genre today, bar none. You mentioned on the weekend during your talks about the latest movie, Avatar, and its new age spirituality within that and its environmental themes. And the second aspect is what I've just mentioned before, evolution. You see, because if people believe in evolution happening here on the Earth, they've got no problem with it happening elsewhere. That the very idea of intelligent, sentient life created by God, for example, would actually destroy the gospel of Christ. So if you like, you know, I'm biased, but I admit I'm constrained within my own worldview to say that they're not aliens because the Bible does not allow such things.
And thus they're demonic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Joining me now is, as I said earlier, Gary Bates, and he's talking to us really about the rise of the interest in UFOs, the pagan spirituality, the spiritual world. As I laid out in my presentation to you in today's program, I believe this is helping to not only increase the interest in the spiritual realm, but also increasing the interest in universalism, all religions coming together. I gave you many examples. Gary, tell me how this does help to further the idea or agenda of universalism, or that all roads lead to the same God. I mean, you told me that some folks believe Muhammad's actually on a spaceship somewhere, that Jesus is on a spaceship somewhere. Tell me how all this plays into potentially the promotion of a one-world religion in the last days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, you remember I said that this phenomenon has been happening for, you know, a long period of time. For example, Joseph Smith had a visitation. And he was given extra-biblical revelation. He was visited supposedly by an angel, and then Muhammad had the same experience. You see, his meditations in a cave, he came out, you know, some debate amongst Islamic scholars as to when, you know, the Quran was actually collated. But we're seeing exactly the same events, if you like, occurring today. For example, the Raelians. Rael has this universalist message, if you like. He embraces all religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism. He's appealing now to try to have an embassy built in Jerusalem to welcome the aliens back. If people don't recall who the Raelians are, these are the group that claimed several years ago that they'd cloned a child. And they made headlines here in the States and in Canada. He's claimed, for example, he's been up on the spaceship. He's met Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, all living together in peace and harmony. And basically, it's the Christians are the ones that are really holding everything up, because we seem to be stuck in our old fuddy-duddy ways, and we're not allowing Mother Earth to evolve to its next level or its next ascendancy, etc. So what happened is, some years ago, when the UFO phenomenon became popular, particularly after Roswell and sightings of that time, we started to investigate our universe, and we started to realize those little blobs of light out there were millions and billions of light years away. So the idea, which is called the extraterrestrial hypothesis, that real aliens are traveling in real spaceships and visiting the Earth, we know, you know, that's a physical impossibility. So in recent years, it's taken on a very, very spiritual form, and it's called the interdimensional hypothesis. So people still want the aliens to be real, but instead of visiting us in real physical spaceships, if you like, they're visiting us interdimensionally. And I remember watching a cable TV program here where a lady was sitting there, and she claimed to be channeling an alien being. And the interviewer said, you know, thinking she's talking to the alien, you know, why do you have to use this woman's body? And she says, we've evolved, there's that word again, to such a high spiritual state, we don't need spaceships anymore, we can just will ourselves around wherever we want, because the atoms in our body move so fast, etc. So it has become, if you like, a unifying belief, and they claim that all the great religions of the world are in fact mistaken somewhat, and that they actually point to our alien creators, that the Elohim in the Bible, for example, is not talking about the Trinity. Those ancient Bible writers mistook, aliens for gods. And I remember, for example, being at a meeting in Australia some years ago, showing some pictures by a lady who claimed to be a Christian even, and she claimed that the aliens had visited her, given her a reinterpretation of the Bible. She claims that Elijah was raptured actually into a spaceship, that Moses was spoken to through the burning bush by a radio transmitter being down by the mothership, and that UFOs parted the Red Sea. She was given those ideas by a Presbyterian minister in this country, by the way, by the name of the Reverend Dr. Barry Downing. And I mentioned that in the meeting, and, you know, a middle-aged gentleman stood up with his wife and said, what's wrong with that? After all, Jesus was just an advanced extraterrestrial. That's how he could turn water into wine, raise the dead. It was by virtue of his advanced technology. He was not really God.
So, Gary, is all of this going to really help lay the foundation for the acceptance of, let's say, the Antichrist, who, as the Scripture says, will perform counterfeit miracle signs and wonders?
Let me say this. Whether that is or isn't going to be, I could not see a better explanation, because, in fact, most of the UFO writings, and particularly the writings that claim to have been channeled to receivers here on the Earth, do have an eschatology, and it seems to strongly actually follow the idea that, you know, people are going to be whisked away off the Earth into spaceships. That sounds like the rapture, obviously, that premillennialists believe in. So it seems to have a very, very strong leaning towards that particular type of eschatology, I have to say.
So you could even say that the rapture, the world could identify the rapture as being the aliens removed the problem, and the problem was the Christians. And I know there was a paper written at a military school, officer school up in Kansas, that we talked about last year on our radio show, that said the reason there's not peace in the world is because of the Christians, particularly the Christians that defend Israel. Then we have this Lynn White, who's written a book saying that the ecological crisis is to be blamed on the Christians who destroyed pagan animism, spirit beings within nature. So you could very easily see where the world says, see, the aliens took the problem out of the world, the Christians, and they'll use UFOs and the aliens removing Christians as the explanation of the rapture. Could that happen?
Absolutely. I think that is absolutely quite possible, if indeed that's going to happen, probably in our time or not too distant future. I know for many years people have been, you know, looking at people in history and trying to identify the Antichrist, for example, or try to identify what would be the cause of the rapture. And as I say, regardless of my own personal views on end times, I would say that I could not find a better explanation than to have millions of Christians whisked away than blame it on aliens taking away the problem, for example. Hmm. And that's what their own writings say. So it doesn't even have to be my opinions, because you know, the aliens' writings you know, actually state those particular things.
So indeed, this whole idea of universalism, all the religions of the world lead to the same path, is being furthered and can be furthered through this increase in UFOs and the extraterrestrial and the spirit beings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was John Mack, who's now deceased, a former Harvard psychiatrist that wrote one of the best-selling books on UFOs. He showed that most contactees end up, if you like, becoming sort of advocates of a New Age religion or New Age existentialist ideas, for example. So, you know, that was a non-Christian saying that, that was, in fact, you know, their life-altering experience led them to, if you like, an alternative religious belief.
Mm.
And it's interesting that some of the visitors today, you know, the names apparently of aliens, in fact, seem to have names that are very, very similar to some of the Old Testament gods, like Ashtaroth and this type of thing. Remember the Ashtar poles that King Ahab put up, for example. So I managed to find these links time and time again. You mentioned about also modern people. I mentioned to you on the weekend, for example, Louis Farrakhan.
Yes.
The Nation of Israel, Nation of Islam leader, is a former alien abductee, apparently. And he even has aliens within, if you like, his brand of Islamic eschatology as well.
Wow. So he thinks he was abducted by aliens.
Yep. Well, Mother Tuella, who is the wife of his mentor, Elijah Muhammad, claimed that the 9/11 attacks were actually inspired by UFOs, and that UFOs were seen in the area as well. Conspiratorial ideas that fit in very, very well. And the fact that, you know, we're now mentioning that, you know, the UN is appointing an ambassador. There is a worldwide movement happening at the moment called Disclosure. People could just type that in, type in UFO Disclosure, and you will see UFO groups actually getting together for the first time, being organized to petition governments around the world to try to force them to tell the truth, in inverted commas, about UFOs, because they believe that the government's been covering it up for a long time.
Thanks, Gary, for joining us.